Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life.
Well, good evening, everyone. Please turn your hymn books to page number 26. Tonight we'll sing page number 26. And if you could please stand, and we'll sing page number 26, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Second. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Please turn your songbooks to page number 178. We'll sing page number 178. We'll sing 178, The Bible Stands.
Eternal and equal with the light sublime. The
So much for that. That was a blessing. You could go ahead and be seated. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and allow the young people to start coming, making their way for our special orchestra. By the way, for our church folks, we begin a very special series starting Sunday morning on the Holy Scriptures. We'll have 24 messages going through the Holy Spirit Scriptures, talking about inspiration, preservation, canonization. We're going to talk about verbal plenary inspiration. We're going to explain all of these terms with the purpose that you can have confidence that this Bible that you have in your hand is the very preserved Word of God, given to you to reveal God to you, that you can know more about Him. Well, our theme for our church for this last year has been the joy of the Lord is our strength, with the idea that we get our joy from knowing God. And as we joy in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we get the strength we need to face uncertain days. And within it, we understand that there are three passages that say the same thing, that the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my song, and the Lord has become my salvation. And there's something about music that ties to the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we count it a great privilege to have these young people to gather together and to play some instruments for the glory of God. If you don't mind, y'all can go ahead and play and encourage us.
Thank you.
You know, the wonderful thing and encouragement to me is that they asked me if they could play. I didn't tell them to play. They asked me and they said, can we get together? One of the things that the Greasebox and our kids love to do is they love to get together and they play instruments together. And they just, that's what they enjoy doing together. And we're thankful we have that medium. Well, at this time, we're going to have a piano trio. And so if you don't mind to come up, young ladies. And I believe that this is going to be a great encouragement and a blessing to hear them play for the Lord. We're thankful that people continue to strive for excellence for Him. I appreciate that. And I'm thankful they could play. Well, in just a moment, we're going to have the young men come and preach. But before we do that, we have one other piano special that we want to play. And then we'll look forward to to having these young men preach the Word of God for us. The special here is Shepherd Like a Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us.
We'll be reading Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, starting at verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing,
for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Probably some of you have planted a garden before. If you plant some tomatoes, will corn come up? No tomatoes come up. What if you plant some pea plants? Will onions come up? No pea plants will come up. What if you plant some pepper plants? Will bean plant come up? No pepper plants will come up. So you reap what you sow. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. If he soweth of his flesh, he shall reap corruption. Soweth of the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. If you sow in the flesh and be mean and cheat people, you will reap corruption, and people will cheat you, and you will go to ruin. But if you sow in the Spirit and serve the Lord gratefully all the time, then you will reap life everlasting. Don't be weary in well-doing. We shouldn't be weary in well-doing. Sometimes you might be weary after telling someone about the Lord. We shouldn't be weary, though, for if we keep telling people about the Lord, in due season we shall reap. Please turn your Bibles now to Job chapter 4. We will be reading Job chapter 4 and verse 8. Job 4:8. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Plow iniquity. When a field is plowed, the soil is turned and worked up. The way I think of plowing iniquity is tempting people to do wrong and teasing people and making them mad and plowing it under their skin. Soweth wickedness. In the old days, when you plant a field, you get a handful of seed and scatter it about. And so sowing wickedness is being mean purposely and flinging it on top. Reap the same. Job has seen in this passage that they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. We must not plow iniquity and sow wickedness, for if we do, we will reap the same. Please turn your Bibles now to Hosea chapter 8. We'll be reading Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7. Hosea 8:7. For they have sown the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meat. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Sow in the wind. Sowing in the wind is like going to idols and following false gods. Reap a whirlwind. It hath no stalk, and it will yield no meat. If it does yield, the stranger shall eat it up. Israel has sown in the wind and made idols in this passage. They shall reap in the whirlwind, which hath no stock. If Israel does produce something good, the Gentiles will take it away. So we must not go to idols or sow in the wind. Please turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We will be reading 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Sow sparingly. This is talking about giving. If you give sparingly, then you will reap sparingly. If you give bountifully, then you will reap bountifully. Here's another example about sowing it sparingly and bountifully. If you sow one tomato plant, then you will reap only one tomato plant. But if you sow 10 tomato plants, then you will reap 10 plants. If you sow a little kindness, you will reap a little kindness. But if you sow a bunch of kindness, you will reap a bunch of kindness. So if you sow sparingly, you shall reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. Amen. Please now turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 126. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious sheed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Sow in tears. This is talking about weeping over someone's lost condition. Reap in joy. Some time ago in eastern Pennsylvania, there was a revival. And one of the first to get saved in this revival was a man by the name of John. And John was a carpenter's apprentice. And his employer was not a Christian and thought he was good enough to go to heaven. One day, after a prayer meeting, John went to the barn to pray. While he was praying, his employer came in to put his horse away. His employer was just at a business meeting. And his employer said, or thought he heard somebody, would sound like someone was in distress in the barn loft. So he climbed the ladder, and he saw John praying for him. John was even weeping. The carpenter then went to bed, but he couldn't sleep. He then got saved, and he and John became great friends. So if we sow in tears, you shall reap in joy. So we must remember that we reap what we sow. We must not sow evil, but we need to sow good things. We also must not be weary in well-doing. We remember also that we must not sow in the wind. We must sow for the Lord.
Please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 28:1. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Bold means courageous, fearless, or brave. The wicked flee, and whether anybody's following them or not, because they don't want to get caught. But the righteous, why should they run? We should not back down when we are preaching the truth. Amen. Now, please turn your Bibles to Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" One time, a man asked Hudson Taylor to come and pray for his wife who was sick. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China, but was still in England at this time. So Taylor prayed. He had one silver coin left and finally decided to give it to the man. When he got home, he remembered Proverbs 19:17, which says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." So he asked God to repay the loan soon. The next day, he got a package in the mail. Inside, there was a pair of gloves, and out came a gold coin worth 10 times as much. God will provide for your needs. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 56:3-4. Psalm 56:3-4. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Amen. And if when we are afraid, we should trust in God. And if we are trusting in God, we won't be afraid. Amen. Also, we should not fear the flesh. Many of you are probably familiar with Acts 9:24-25, which is where some disciples in Damascus let Paul down the city walls to get away from the Jews who wanted to kill him. God can provide a way to escape if it is his will. 2 Timothy 13:12 says that if we will face persecution if we live godly in Christ Jesus. But in 1 Peter 3:14, it says to be happy if persecution comes and not to be afraid. We need to trust God because he knows what is best. He knows whatever situation you are going through and will help you if you ask him.
Please turn your Bibles now to Numbers chapter 13. We'll read Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 20. Numbers chapter 13, and beginning at verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names: of the tribe of Reuben, Shammai the son of Zachar; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat the son of Hori; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Igal the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Asher the son of Nun; of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti the son of Rephu; of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel the son of Sodi; of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi the son of Susi; of the tribe of Dan, Amiel the son of Gamali; of the tribe of Asher, Sether the son of Michael; of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi the son of Vophsi; of the tribe of Gad, Guel the son of Maki. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Asher the son of Nun Jehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time is the time of the first ripe grapes. Tonight we will look at some verses in the Bible in which God used men to do great things for him. These men had courage, and we also need courage. Of course, this brings the question, why do we need courage? If we did not have courage, we would shrink down and say and do nothing when we need to, and chances to serve the Lord would be lost. So my topic of the sermon today is called The Courage of Joshua and Caleb. So first we'll see the courage of Moses and the spies. We see that the Lord talks to Moses in verses 1 and 2, and Moses sends the men to search out the land. We don't see Moses hesitating. He does what the Lord tells him to do right away. We also see that these men are named. We see the name Asha here, and Moses calls this man Jehoshua. This man is Joshua. These men are rulers. We see that these men are leaders of the children of Israel. We also see that Moses tells the men specifically what to do. He tells them where to go. He tells them to see what the people are like, to see what the land is like, and to get fruit. Now I'll go to verses 30 and 31 of the same chapter, Numbers chapter 13. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." We see those who are discouraged and those who have courage. The men came back from spying out the land, and some of the men are afraid because they see that the men were giants, and they didn't want to face them. They weren't trusting in the Lord. So we see division. When the rest are discouraged, Caleb has courage. The rest of the men are not faithful. They saw the land flowing with milk and honey, and they saw how the Lord had provided for them before, but they were not trusting in the Lord. We also see that Joshua is not mentioned right away. Caleb is mentioned, and he stands up for the Lord. Maybe Joshua didn't have a chance to say anything, but we will see that Joshua will stand up for the Lord later. So the people will not have faith in God, and they will murmur against him. In Numbers chapter 14, verses 26 through 31, the word of God says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised." We see that the Lord is angry. He tells Moses and Aaron who will go into the land. Caleb and Joshua will go, the little ones will go, those younger than 20 years, and the others will die in the wilderness. So now we'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses." Time goes by, and Joshua becomes the courageous new leader of the children of Israel. Now Joshua 1, chapter 1 and verses 7 through 9 say, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So God gives Joshua direction. God wants Joshua to follow the law, he wants Joshua to prosper, and he wants Joshua to be courageous. We see that God will be with Joshua. Joshua does not need to fear. The Lord commands him to be strong and courageous. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 28 says, "But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see." In this passage, God told Moses to encourage Joshua. Joshua needed encouragement. I think we all need encouragement at times, and we should encourage one another. Amen. Now we'll go to Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua has called Israel together, and he speaks to them. He tells them that he and his family will serve the Lord. He will be faithful to the end. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 31 says, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. The children of Israel served the Lord." We need to learn from the example of Joshua and Caleb and stand up courageously for the Lord. They faced giants, battles, and their own people rebelling against them and the Lord, but they showed courage for the Lord, and that was what mattered. Although we may not face all these things in life, we need to always be courageous, even in the little things that we do not think matter that much. God used 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish one day to feed thousands of people, and he can use the little things in your life. Also, we need to be courageous in times of trial. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So just wait on the Lord, and he will guide you all the way through.
I hope you kept your Bibles open. Turn with me, if you wouldn't mind, to Exodus chapter number 2. Exodus chapter number 2. And if you wouldn't mind, to start in verse number 1. "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him for the ark of the bushes, and daubed him with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid in it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and the maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark of the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is the one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Go.' And the maiden went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and she became his son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Now this chapter, story actually starts in chapter number 1 of Exodus. And what has happened at this time is already Joseph has led the children of Israel into Egypt, and they have already been in the land for a while, and they started multiplying and started growing. And there was a new king that knew not Joseph, and he said unto his people that they need to do something about this problem. And what they did was they started forcing the people to work for them, so that way they won't overthrow them or anything. And then they saw that they just kept multiplying some more and wouldn't stop. And they told the people to continue to work. And then the king of Israel went to 2 midwives and told them to start to kill any males that were born of the children of Israel. And the midwives, in verse 17 of chapter 1, says, "The midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, 'Why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive?' And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, 'Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and delivered ere the midwives come into them.' Therefore God dwelt with them, and the midwives, the people, multiplied and waxed very mightily. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, 'Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall say alive.'" So basically what has happened already in this chapter is the people have been working, and Pharaoh went up to 2 people and said that they need to slay all the men a child alive, and they didn't do that because they feared the Lord. And because they didn't do that, they were greatly blessed with houses. And in chapter 2, we can see that there is a man of Levi that took to wife a daughter of Levi, and they conceived and bare a son, and they saw that he was a goodly child, and they hid them 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him the ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river bank. So basically what she did is she wanted to save a child alive, so she put him in kind of a basket, and she put some slime and pitch and made it into a basket and put him in the river. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her handmaidens walked along the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." So they saw that this baby was a Hebrew child. And in verse 7, we can see what this happens. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. So basically, we could see that Moses' mother got paid to take care of the child. And we can see that later this child grows into a man of God and strives to follow God and seeks the Lord. So what we can see is you had faith of the midwives for saving the male child's alive. You also had the faith of Moses' mother to save the child. What I want you guys to do from this message is to pray, and to pray big prayers, not just small things, but pray that God can do the impossible and that he will be with you, and just trust him.
Amen. That was a huge blessing to me. When all else fails, trust in God's word. When all else fails, as the young men demonstrated, just read God's word. Just read God's word. And when you need to explain it, just read God's word. God's word is enough. God's word is sufficient. I'm thankful that all four of them depended upon God's word rather than attempt to try to figure how to do it in their own words, their own opinions, and whatever else. We could trust God's word. And with it, they put the emphasis that, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." As we begin this new year, we have this emphasis here that as we start this next year, we are going to reap what we sow. Now's the time to start concentrating and thinking about, what are you going to sow? When we sow unto righteousness, we will reap righteousness. When we sow unto wickedness, we will sow unto wickedness. When you sow to spiritual things, you're going to reap spiritual things. When you sow fleshly, carnal things, you're going to reap the same. We saw the emphasis that there's no reason to be afraid when you trust the Lord. If we could summarize the last 2 years, it would be the spirit of fear. But the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, or of power, of love, and a sound mind. That word sound, by the way, means healthy. God has designed us to have a healthy mind, not live in the spirit of fear. We know that whatsoever time I'm afraid, I can trust in him. We also heard the emphasis of the character study of Joshua, that be strong and of good courage. We're so thankful that you could be courageous and be strong when you are following God's will. That we saw that Joshua had a specific will of God laid out for his life, and that he had no reason to be afraid, whether it was giants, whether it was own countrymen, whether it was circumstances, whether it was taking the leadership position after Moses had died after all of those years. That as long as he was following God's will, he could be strong and of good courage. And then we just saw the example of the faith of Jochebed, the faith of Moses' mother, and the faith of these Hebrew midwives, that the midwives were told, "You are to kill all of the Hebrew males that are born." And they didn't.
And God blessed them because of that, because they trusted in God. And then here's Jochebed with a child. She says, I could tell God is going to use this child. I don't know what for, but God's going to use this child. I have a responsibility. And so the hardest thing she ever did was commend him to the Lord. That word commend carries the idea. She took her hands off of and said, God, I have to trust you. And because she gave him to the Lord, God gave him back to her. And she had the privilege of raising up to him. By the way, there's a principle in that. What you give to the Lord, you will never lack in. If you could trust God, take your hands off, let God be God. God could do a better job at all those things than the rest of us. Whether it's you got that family member, I just wish I could just shake sense into them. Let God do it. He could do a lot better job than them. My wife does this trick all the time whenever I'm stupid. By the way, authority has the right to be stupid. They don't have the right to be illegal, immoral, or biblical, but authority has the right to be stupid. You know, when I'm stupid, and I'm stupid all the time, she cheats and talks to my boss. And my boss can do a lot better job of fixing me than she can. That's the principle that we learn, is that we can trust God. And so as we go into this new year, we have the Word of God in four different ways to encourage us to be strong of good courage, that whatsoever time I'm afraid, I could trust in Him, that be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We can trust the Lord. And so as we have that emphasis going into the new year, may we say this, that as we enter 2022, I understand that some people think it's 2020 part two. We can trust God. Let's enter into this new year, which has a whole lot of unknowns. And let's go into this new year with faith, saying that we can trust God. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.